One in a million me. One in a million me. What a strange expression. Some of you, probably the older ones, and who listen to this type of music, I see Erica smiling. There's a song that was made popular by Mr. Larry Graham. And the refrain goes, a one in a million you. I looked at the song carefully, and the song had a storyline to it. A man was lonely. As he said, with his arms, they were empty, waiting to be filled. Then he found a piece of happiness to call his own. Then he realized that life is worth living again because someone told him, I love you. And having discovered and having listened that someone told him, I love you, he went on to say, a one in a million you. Well, today, the focus is not on me, who is or who has found the love or the admiration of someone else. And I should tell you, not because I found love in someone else's arms while I say that, but because I am prepared to follow the one who is altogether lovely. As Christians, we face a twofold challenge to preach the gospel for both a witness and to make disciples for the kingdom of God. As Christians, if I declare myself to be a Christian, I must be prepared to be a witness. My lifestyle, without I wearing a badge or somewhere on my to say I'm a Christian, my lifestyle should be witnessing to somebody, young people, that I am a Christian. When I go to my place of business, people ought to see in me that I am a Christian. My conduct, my words, my lifestyle, even what I drink, not what I don't drink, even what I drink, should declare to be a witness that I am a Christian. Coupled with that declaration by my lifestyle that I'm a Christian is a declaration to them that I'd like them to come and to join in what I am experiencing. Doesn't it sound logical, church? If I go out, I love to say this, and I boast about my brother every day. I have one brother, and if he goes to a store in New York to buy a suit, he'll make sure to buy two. And so some people say, Elmer, you have some lovely suit. I never buy them. I always say that. He will always remember me. And he went out to buy a pair of shoes. And he says, brother, I have another one for you. And recently he called me and said he has another one for me. If I am sharing and I'm experiencing the joy of knowing Jesus, shouldn't I be making disciples of all men? Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. As Seventh-day Adventists, we know this one so often, but I'm going to take a little time and I'm going to read it. Jesus came and spoke to them and saying, all authority, I'm reading from the New King James Version, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And what it says there, go therefore and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them to observe all things and I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. In the commitment to be Christians, we are called to go and to make disciples. And there's another well-known verse that we read, Matthew 24 and verse 14, another well-known verse of scripture that we read, And this gospel, Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be what? Preached in all the world for what? A witness. And to all nations, and then shall the end come. Literally, we are called upon to make disciples of all nations. And I just like to emphasize all. There should not be any restriction. There should not be a territory where we believe that we are excluded from preaching God's word. There is never a time when you should be anywhere where you cannot preach God's word. Well, I'm so happy. Well, there is a broad mandate, and many have asked, how can we preach this message? Well, the servant of the Lord, in Messages to Young People, she gave a very powerful quotation there. The work, above all work, the business above all others, which should draw and engage the energy of the soul, is the work of saving souls for whom Christ has died. Make this the main, the most important part of your work in Messages to Young People, and I think it's page 227. So, as you have been given the mandate to go proclaim God's words, we are declaring that the most important work you can do is to be involved in the work of saving souls. Somebody would say, Vermont, you're crazy. Time's hard. I need to go and to make a living for my family. Pastor Lewis prayed this morning. The school fees are high. Don't I know that? They are high. But the servant of the Lord says, the work above all work, the business above all others, which should draw and engage the energy of the soul, is the work of saving souls for whom Christ has died. And I'm commending that to all of you this morning. Well, I'm so happy that the leadership of the church in the Inter-American Division has formulated a wonderful plan of continuing this mandate. And the plan that they have formulated is Vision 1 Million. But quickly, for information, I'll just show you the territory that is covered by the Inter-American Division. You know, by any time I present the word, I do a little bit of education in it. Inter-American. All that area south of Miami and just taking care of Colombia and Venezuela in at the top of the South American continent. Let's look on that map. And you cover right there. Just below Miami area. So all the areas of the Caribbean, all the areas of Mexico right across, and it takes care of Venezuela and Colombia. And roughly, so we are of that part. So that's a little bit of education. I was trying to get a little bit in there. So when we talk about Inter-American Division, and we are talking about that we are part of the Inter-American Division, then that's exactly where we are. So let's now go back to this plan that they have formulated, the Vision 1 Million. And she just put in a little anecdote here. There's someone who I always refer to as my friend. Someone I've known for a little while. The first I remember standing here, and he's in the congregation listening. The program Vision 1 Million. And I want you to understand what this is all about. Vision 1 Million. The leadership of our church has asked us to rekindle the passion, fan the flame, share the joy. Get it? Say it with me. You are to do what? Rekindle the passion, fan the flame, and share the joy. You know why I love this? I share a little secret with you. The first aspect, and as I studied it carefully, and I looked at the mandate, as I look at what they gave us, you know what I love about it first of all? It must start with me. The Vision 1 Million plan is not, first of all, going to evangelize to get 1 million people out there. It starts with me. Rekindle the passion. The passion that I have for my Lord Jesus Christ, the moment at that point in time when I was baptized. I've heard many people say, if Jesus Christ came the night I was baptized, I would be in heaven. You have heard that? Haven't you heard that? And in your own experience, you can say that. What I'm challenging you this morning, and especially those, and I see some of my friends who once walked with the Lord, I am asking you, based on the authority of God's word, to rekindle the passion for the first love in Jesus Christ. So rekindle the passion, fan the flame, and just in case, I know some of you do not know the analogy, I love to see especially those people, and they have a little coal, and you fan it, and you take a piece of cardboard and fan it, and pray that it get lighted. And most times after you fan it and fan it, you know the theory behind that, you're putting in some additional oxygen in the thing. That's the theory. So fanning the flame, it has a good scientific explanation. Fan the flame, and when the flame starts to glow, what should you do? Share the joy. And that's what the church is called upon to do. So now go to that slide. Tell you about the Vision 1 Million program. It is a program that recruits, trains, and challenges at least 1 million Seventh-day Adventist church members. I am one in a million. The call is to challenge Seventh-day Adventist members first of all. You, me, everybody. Challenge Seventh-day Adventist church members across the Inter-American Division territory to become what? Passionate disciples. Actively involved in small groups and other diversified outreach ministries. And watch that word, passionate. What was it? Rekindle the passion. And I said, Keisha sang, she led out with such passion. Watch us work the word passionate disciples. Aspirations of the passionate disciples. I'll just list a few things that you can follow with me. One, the aspirations of the passionate disciples to have a passionate desire to serve the Lord and focus less on self. You know what is sad? Sometimes individuals, we are just like the world. We want the focus to be on me. You walk into a room and you know who's that? Or no, we don't say that to it. You know who am I? Let me tell you, you are nothing. Absolutely nothing. You are who you are because of the power of God. God just shut down your little oxygen for 6.5 minutes and you are gone. One, have a passionate desire to serve the Lord and focus less on self. Secondly, excitedly share their faith with non-believers as a responsibility they cannot resist based on their love and commitment to God and fellow men. You ever see David Asherakit preaching, man? What an excited young man. Sometimes I watch David Asherakit, I wonder, in a sermon of 35, well, give him 28 and 30, that's what the broadcast people give him. And in 28 and 30, and I watch it, I'm sure he done at least 100 meters just walking across the stage. The man is excited, you know why? There's a passion in him. And that's a passion to serve my God. So, as you're a passionate disciple, you should get the excitement to share the love of God. Number three. Worship the Lord, what? Daily. Not just on Sabbaths. Many of us were only Sabbath keepers and we're not even do a good job at that either. Not even do a good job at that. But we are to worship the Lord our daily. In this time when the church is called for Vision 1 Million, wake up every morning and spend some time with God. You cannot be too busy that you cannot spend some time with God. And it don't just mean going through the Sabbath school lesson in a ritualistic manner. You know what it means? Take some time and say, Lord, I am dedicating this lot of time to you. You and I. Get up out of your bed, go lock up in your bathroom or wherever, or go on your balcony, or wherever you are, but spend that daily time with God. That's what the passionate disciple does. Number four. Submit to the Holy Spirit in lifestyle, behavioral conduct, and decision-making processes. When you have your decision to make, don't be afraid to consult the Holy Spirit. Every day I have had some difficult decisions to make. You have to something to make. You have $2 million, but the debt is $10 million. You know what? You don't know what I'm talking about. Sir Foss, you know what I'm talking about? It happens. And what? Baron, yes. Baron say he knows. But what do you do? Even in that, you can take it to the Lord in prayer. And you know what I've found? As a Christian, when you have these decisions to make, even members of your team who do not know the Lord, is to come what? have a decision to make. Let us pray to God about it. It's a powerful witness. The passionate disciple does that. Number five, you engage in a lifestyle of continuous meditation, prayer, and study of God's words. That's what a passionate disciple does. So, quickly, you have a passionate desire to serve the Lord. You're excited to share your faith that you cannot resist based on the love of God. You worship the Lord daily. You submit to the Holy Spirit. And number five, you engage in a lifestyle of continuous meditation. When the apostle says, pray without ceasing. And some people say, it means that you must be on your knees 24 hours a day. Your mind must be there. Let this mind be in you. Get the mind right. And as your mind is right, you will be controlled to go in the right direction. So, as you rekindle the passion, you will be motivated to be a passionate disciple. The Vision 1 Million celebration, it will be an annual event in which the 1 million passionate disciples, you and I know, been recognized that we should be a part of this. Now, we don't go there yet, you know. The 1 million passionate disciples will take at least one visitor to church on that Sabbath. That's the plan. So, having gotten the 1 million, you and I become part of that 1 million, no? Do you understand? You understand the template? You and I become a part of that million. Having become a part of that million, you will take at least one other person with you to church on that Sabbath. For this year, the Inter-American leadership says that Sabbath, March 24, you will take that visitor. And a little personal thing, I will not be in Jamaica on March 24. It's something that I have to be away from Jamaica on that day. But I will make sure that my one disciple will be in church here at Andrews on that day. What I'm saying, I'm not necessarily telling that I will not be here. That's not the emphasis. That even if you are not here, but it's better that you take that person. Ensure that one disciple will be in church on that Sabbath. Let's look at some of the values that we get out of this program. One, we believe that it originated in the Lord Jesus Christ. The essence of everything I do must be Christ-centered. If everything that I do is not Christ-centered, I am missing the mark. As the Apostle Paul says, I am only beating the air. Number two, our destiny is in Christ. We begin in Christ, we continue in Christ, and our destiny at the point of overcoming is in Christ. Number three, our significance, our reason for living is Christ. For me to live is what? If you start to, you see, anytime you start to compartmentalize your life, you are in trouble. Live for Christ continually. Number four, we have an individual responsibility to preach Christ. I have basically extracted those points that was keeping the focus on Christ. Number five, and I love this so much. Number five, sola scriptura. The early pioneers, Martin Luther and others, as they came on the teaching of the just shall live by faith, he recognized that the scripture only, not the tradition, not even the teachings of the church, because the teachings of the church are not based on Christ, then scriptures, then we have missed the mark. Sola scriptura, source of our authority for our preaching. Number six, Christ must be in our message of hope. As you go to make disciples, make Christ the focus. Not me, not my intellect, not my great, well, don't misunderstand, not my great gift of oratory, not me, general, not you, not your great gift of oratory. Number seven, the discipleship of every convert into the maturity of Christ. I just take a little time here. You see, when you have gotten that one individual and you take that individual to church, your responsibility don't done yet. You have a responsibility to the discipleship, or there's a term that we use, mentoring of every convert into the maturity of Christ. Oftentimes I hear cynical ones, and probably not so cynical ones, say, guess what? The church focuses on goals, and we have all of these numbers coming in, and many come in and many go out. Yes, the conservation of our membership, it becomes institutionalized. No. But you and I as individuals, we have that responsibility when the individual come to mentor them, to disciple them, that they become mature brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. And number 8, glorification with Christ, our ultimate hope. So it's all about Christ. Christ-centered, Christ-originated, Christ's goal, and glorification with Christ. Let's look at some goals quickly. The goals of this Vision 1 Million program. 1, prepare 1 million lay persons to be involved in frontline, active, persuasive preaching. 1 in a million, me. You are called upon to be in that 1 million. 2, to support every evangelistic event with intercessory prayer. Last week, the church was called to a fasting and prayer. We started the church on the right note, Pastor. But every aspect of the church life must be backed up with intercessory prayer teams. You might not be a part of a committee, but you should be on your knees praying for the leadership of your church. We should be praying for the disciples, us first, and those for whom we go out. Number 3. Reach a target of 1 million baptisms by March 2014. And number 4, prepare the church, and emphasize it again, prepare the church to disciple at least 90%, 98% of their new converts. I would say 100%. Eh? One, bring one, and nurturing that one into the kingdom. The objectives: to use print and social media to make members aware of Vision 1 Million. Let me talk to our young people just for a couple of seconds. Facebook, I hear somebody behind me say, I have never seen people with fingers working so from my bun. You go to the public spaces and the fingers working. You go home, the fingers working. Right, young people? You come to church, the fingers working. Then I hear about Facebook. Tell me the rest of them. High five. Twitter. MySpace. They're not done yet, man. I see some work come. Eh? The young people didn't know it. But the young people, I don't even want to know it. You know, I just need to be able to, you know, let me back up. You need to know it. You have to be on the same page. So then even though, you know, so don't get me wrong, you know, I spend quite a little bit of time on my, you know, on my phone too. Because if you ask me, where's the phone? I have my phone in my pocket, and I will send a text message, remember the Sabbath to keep rolling. Right. Separate and apart from that. Use your devices. Use the social media to make members aware of the Vision 1 Million program. You can use it. I remember early 60s, you see, when television was becoming popular. I used to hear church people say, that thing is devil. Take it out of your house. People used to preach that type of thing, you know. But not realizing that there's been an explosion of technology. It requires an element of what? Control. And use it to bring honor and glory to God. Knowledge shall be increased. When the knowledge increases, use that to honor God's name. So use your print and your social media to make members aware of the Vision 1 Million program. Number 2, design the care, assimilation, and maturity of new converts through all the ministries of the church. This church, Christ-centered, there are so many ministries. Prayer ministry, youth choir ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, personal ministry, all of these ministries. Use all of these ministries to help to nurture the new members. Number 3, to celebrate the achievement of 1 million baptisms from the Vision 1 Million. And let me tell you, I'm hastening on. Let me tell you this. It is so sad that many of us cannot witness to others. You know why? Our lifestyle is questionable. Our conduct is questionable. This morning I'm calling on all of us to get closer to the Lord Jesus. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in Bible study. Spend time in living for the Lord Jesus. Evangel living is a real experience. Many times, Christians find themselves abruptly tossed to and fro in a web of unfamiliar adversity. However, even though you might be involved, you might get caught up in all of these adversity, individuals remain faithful to the Lord. And our Bible is filled with many people who, regardless of what circumstances they found themselves in, they remain faithful. And you know why? Because they did not allow external circumstances to change their internal conviction. If your conviction is right, is focused on the Lord Jesus, the external circumstances will not change you. I listened keenly, and Pastor, in his prayer, he said, yes, it is so sad. Many young people, when they have reached a level of attainment, they have forgotten where the Lord has taken them from. And let me say to you, young and old alike, let not the external circumstances change your internal convictions, because your convictions are solidly founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a man named Isaiah in the Bible. As we talk about the vision 1 million, Isaiah, turn to me quickly. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. As I cement that point, Isaiah chapter 6, 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, and I go a little slower here, Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth, and I go a little slower, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Look at verse 8. Read for me verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Isaiah was not living in a different time from us. He was not. I did a little background, which I'm not sure all of it. We'll not have time to tell about Isaiah. But in Isaiah's time, the people of God, they had fallen deeply into ways of sin. The people forsook God and his ways of righteousness. Social and moral conditions were much the same all around. Everywhere there was miscarriage of justice, for magistrates judged for reward, and rulers were primarily interested in pleasure and personal gain. But Isaiah set forth the fact that the entire world was ruled by one God. A God who required righteousness, not only of the Hebrews, but of all the nations of the earth. And when I look close to Isaiah, you know what? Isaiah was a statesman as well as a prophet. Isaiah, he loved his nation, and he spoke with courage and conviction against any course of action that was not in harmony with the national interest. You know why I love that? As a Christian who is involved in making disciples of and for Vision 1 Million, we should be careful about our nation. We should uphold the principles of nation building. And on the principles of our nation, we should be equally be concerned about it as the principles of God. Despite impending ruin, Isaiah constantly referred to a remnant who would be faithful to the Lord and who would accordingly be saved. We sang this morning, we have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves. Hebrews 10, as I close. Hebrews 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. My brothers and sisters, from all indications, Jesus Christ is coming soon. Get back that final slide for me. Final slide. One in a million, me. You can be a part of that 1 million. You can be a disciple. Don't worry about the others outside yet. You can be a disciple for the Lord Jesus. You need to stand up, be confident of where you are going. Cast not away your confidence. As I researched, I said endurance. In fact, it said patient endurance. The struggles may be heavy. The load may be heavy. The struggles may be long, but we shall overcome. In a little while, we will be going home.